Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Easy.
It's Dom, dude.
Yeah. Tell him, dude.
What? Tell him what, dude?
Tell him why it's dumb. Tell him why it's fucking stupid. It's like the dumbest shit you've ever seen, man.
Nah, I could.
Like, what the fuck are you doing?
You know what else is the dumbest shit?
What is?
Welcome to the Ghost of Podcast, episode 440. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
Yeah. Sorry, because it's a Norwegian film later. And fucking as soon as this movie started, which we're not reviewing right now, it just brought out like, yeah. Definitely one of those kinds of Scandinavian films.
It's just right off the rip for you?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
This is Ree.
How you guys been?
There it is. Well,
he's down one purple-lidded Tupperware, so
yeah,
not good.
I suffered a big loss. I mean, the world has. We've got an orange rapist running the world. Shutting down higher education, and I'm out.
You're even kind of taking his cadence right now.
I know. You're shutting down. I'm missing a purple Tupperware.
Yeah.
That Sophia. Hi, Sophia. I've looked for it, and it's not here, so I'm going to have to invest in a new one.
Yeah.
It's a big loss. Otherwise, I think things are going pretty good.
Okay, good.
Yeah. How about you, Jacob?
Just did a job interview earlier today, and we'll see what happens next week, but feeling good. Yeah, I'm feeling
What's
good.
What's the position?
It's called they made it up. They actually did.
Well, all of them are made up.
Yeah, right? Yeah, client data relationship specialist, but it's just a lot of phone calls.
They really did make it up.
Yeah. Basically, there was a department with two people, and they had so much shit to do that all the shit they didn't want to do, they just created a new position. And I'm like, okay, I'll take it, dude.
Wow.
So we'll see. We'll
the world
see.
Is your oyster, dude.
Yeah. And they said you do your own work. No micromanage, no manager. You're kind of guide yourself. And I'm like, this is everything I need. But we'll see. We'll see. It's kind of a lot of people are applying for it within the firm. So we'll see what happens. But yeah.
Do you feel like you're the most qualified?
I like where you're going with this.
I do. Are we doing? Are you role playing my boss right now?
No. Because like with internal jobs like that, it's you know you're
the thing is.
Yeah, there's all these rumors that they're like, dude, they don't do this like switching departments because like if you're valuable where you are, it ain't happening. So I already feel like they have that against me. But
the thing it makes me think about is the big directives now coming from the top. It's about merit, dude. It's based on merit, right? So do you think this is like a DEI hire or is this...
No, he's got the numbers to prove it.
Is it going to be based
on... I actually, right before I started, I'd made a fucking line graph of all of my productivity tracking for the last 24 months. Hell it was like, see, I could do all this shit, you know? And
hell yeah.
All three of us have that. We're just all the fucking... the number one employee at the dick-sucking factory, huh? With the fucking... Our productivity rate.
Yeah, dude. God. It's that they gamified it, dude. Like, so of course I... Like, because there's this one
God.
Thing that they track. It's tracked but not ranked. Mm. So my boss is like really big about it. He's like, well, you know, we got to get this metric up. I'm like, look, when the company starts giving it a ranking, I'll give a shit. But right now it's just being tracked.
Damn.
So I don't care. And he's like, are you sure? I'm like, dude, give me a ranking in the company and I'll give a fuck. But up until then, don't care.
They used to have the cash incentives, like $100 for every paycheck for every 2 weeks for the fucking top producer. So people were like fucking going crazy.
They're doing that now and you get a $100 gift card and all that stuff. And they review it every 4 weeks because it's a 4-week cycle. The thing is though, like in our, the field of work we're in, like, it's like you really shouldn't be running it like a fucking call center. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Same like, with ours. We stopped doing the incentives because it was like, it was so not fair. Like, there's people that would never get it because of their type of responsibilities.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's going to lead to people like fucking, they're going to be like padding their numbers. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, didn't you experience some fuck? Like, it was padding his numbers?
I mean, our system is really susceptible to it. So if you know what you're doing, like you can pad out your numbers pretty easily, but it's not sustainable for at least for us, because like at some point, like the balance gets tipped the other way. Yeah. And then like the next month you'd have really shitty numbers because like you padded the previous month.
I see what you're saying. Like it'll show up in the long term.
Yep. Yep.
Your best just to
fuck it's better just to be consistent.
Yeah. Be transparent about it. So you get like the fucking, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It's spread out across a longer period of time.
Yep.
Dope. So you don't look like, wow, you really hit it hard last month, and now you suck.
Yeah. So your home renovations are well like along your way.
98% done with both the bathroom and my bedroom.
I wish I could be there.
It's super cozy and it's just chill. Courtney and I, she's got like a wall of books now, and I've got a wall of movies and comic books.
Yeah, you guys essentially have like a little like one bedroom studio kind of deal, right?
Yeah, for like the office living room kind of reading space. Yeah, and then we basically ran out of two rooms under my parents' roof, and then we have an actual bedroom. Eventually, we're gonna connect the two, I think, but we kind of like the extra wall space. So
there you go.
We're not knocking down any walls yet.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good. Nice.
Very nice.
All right.
Very nice.
We talked now, about what?
How about the Epstein list?
Release it.
Release the list. We talked about what?
We talked about Superman.
We did. On the pre-show, if you would like to hear the pre-show, patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast is where you can become a member of Patreon and get exclusive content. You also get the episodes early. Sometimes there's little merch care packages. And you get access to the Discord. And these are unprecedented times. We're always saying that, but it's pretty fucked up.
Our pets' heads are falling off.
It's actually pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Like for real this time. Even COVID was like a walk in the park compared to this shit.
It was much nicer then, I gotta tell you. It
fucking was.
We were all isolated. There was nobody on the streets.
Yeah, man. People on the streets.
People along the streets.
Yeah. We talked to all three of us like the new Superman. We had fun with it.
Unanimously, yep.
It benefits from this moment.
Definitely.
And Man of Steel is fucking insane. It always has been. I mean that in good and bad ways.
What trailers did you get pre-Superman?
It was weird because this is my first like PG-13 movie in a minute. And I'm trying to remember, but I thought Nezha, the A24, did the English dub of Chinese animated film, the highest grossing animated film ever.
Yeah, it beat Inside Out 2. I'd mentioned it earlier this year. It was in limited release over here for a few months ago.
Yeah,
it's the sequel to the first Chinese animated film. Yeah. It made over $2.2 billion overseas.
Good God. And every single person in the U.S. is like, well, I've never heard of it.
And I'm like, fucking, you just have. Like, that's how that fucking works. And also, guess what? Like, things exist outside of the U.S. Maybe you've heard of China. Yeah. China. He had a speech coach. He doesn't say it the same anymore. But I kind of miss him saying it. But dude, I saw this stuff because I was curious. I'm like, how does something make $2.2 billion? And then it had like an 8 out of 10 IMDb from a shitload of fucking people watching. The reviews were through the roof. So I was like, you know, go check it out. And it was fucking amazing. And that's without seeing the first one. It really was. And it's kind of a watershed cultural moment for China. And I had never seen a Chinese animated movie. I'm not saying it's the first one, but I hadn't seen one.
Yeah.
You know, and so A24 is re-releasing it with an English dub.
With a pretty stacked cast. Michelle Yeoh, I think, is a big standout. Yeah. What other trailers? I think you saw the most recent. I just remember that and obviously like Fantastic Four, and that's about it.
Yeah, there's Fantastic Four. I got to be honest, we showed up just a hair late, so I think we only watched Fantastic Four. Maybe the Black Phone trailer.
Oh, okay. Ooh, yeah. It was good. I'm sorry.
It surprised the hell out of me because I was I'm in the camp. I was very you know, lukewarm.
We were C plus. I think we were all pretty lukewarm. Yeah. But it had.
Well, Scott Derrickson, I like Scott Derrickson.
Me too.
Like, yeah. I like what he can do visually and, like, what he can do with editing. Like, so, what, he did Doctor Strange, he did Sinister.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two
That's
big ones.
That's about it.
Those are the two big ones. Deliverers from Evil, I never saw. I know he did one of the Paranormal Activity movies, the later ones.
Okay.
But either way, he gets some, like, fucking, I think he's legitimately, like, skilled with his editing and stuff like that. And... Yeah, dude, I like the fucking the trailer I saw here though. It seemed very Nightmare on Elm Street.
Very much. And it's cool because I don't think anyone's been like kind of brave enough to kind of quote unquote copy that formula.
Yeah.
You know, and which I think is totally fine to do.
Yeah.
If anyone could just do, you know, mindless slasher in the woods, why not try to do like dream slashers again?
And the snow and the winter vibe. Vibes, winter vibes, dude. It's like, no, it's literally fucking winter. It's not vibes. And then there's snow. That's not a vibe. And then like, so, but when his mask comes off at the end with the teeth, I was like, this is good. And the movie might suck, but that trailer
that
was
one
good.
Part is good.
That one part with his teeth made it look spooky.
Mm-hmm.
I had gone to see Jurassic Ass. Rebirth. What's it called?
I already almost forgot it. Yeah, Jurassic World Rebirth.
I mentioned it because it goes with the trailers. To see the Odyssey trailer primarily.
Yep.
And it was cool. And then the thing is, I didn't have the experience with the Odyssey trailer till before Superman. They showed it, and it was like we had gotten seats late for Superman, so we were sitting closer than we usually would in a Dolby theater.
Oh shit!
Which worked out fucking awesome for Superman because it felt like we were on a ride. But also that Odyssey trailer, like, that it hit me different. Like, the tone of it. Like, obviously, he doesn't show much a year out.
Yeah.
But, like, it's like, what's the story about Odysseus? And it's like this thing, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. What the fuck is going on here? And shows the horse. Like, and Tom Holland's fucking crying like a little bitch. Like, little he
cave.
Should be.
Yeah, you see the cave, and you're like, oh, man.
Yeah, the silhouette with the cave. And it's like, okay, I got you, dude.
You're doing it.
You're doing it. So I got that trailer with it. What else? I don't think it was with Superman, but I did see the second trailer for Weapons. And it's fucking even better than the first one.
Yeah, I'm almost like, they even confirmed that even though it feels like they're showing too much in the new trailer, they're still saying like that's nothing. Because they're already doing the audience reactions. They haven't lifted the review embargo. But people have been hinting, like, dude, like, go in as completely blind as possible. It's just like that experience with Barbarian. Like, Craig, you'll never know what the fuck's gonna hit you.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
I like what I'm seeing, and it seems very, very savage.
Yeah, but after that, I don't know what's left with horror movies.
Well, we got together. Wait, you saw that?
I did see
you
that.
You saw that? New Naked Gun.
I'm excited for it.
Fuck yeah! No, yeah, dude.
I welcome back the slapstick comedy movie.
Same.
Hell yeah. And I'm excited for who's involved. Akiva, what's his name? Not Gold. I'm going to say the wrong name.
Pamela Anderson.
Who's the director?
Oh, one second. I can tell you.
Akiva Schaffer. So this guy was with the Lonely Island. He's one of the writer directors.
Yeah, he did like Popstar.
Popstar, Never Stop, Never Stopping. He's a producer. On fucking a little show called I Think You Should Leave.
Great show.
Yeah, and so, yes, like, I am confident about the hands it's in because he clearly fucking understands the fucking, you know, the Zazz classic
stuff. And there's been a weird thing where they're like, and they're even, that includes even this year, like, there hasn't, comedies are kind of just not much of a thing.
Yeah, they said it's kind of a gamble of sorts.
Yeah, it's TV shows, comedy shows now. Not the movie format isn't working for some reason.
Yeah, when they announced the potential casting 2 or 3 years ago of Liam Neeson, like immediately I'm like, that's fucking inspired because the dude, you know, this fucking Oscar Schindler, I mean, he's a great actor, but then he spent about the last 20 years or so doing Taken. And 1, 2, 3, 4. Did they do 4 or 3? And taking knockoffs and stuff.
They
and
made an, like, Ice Road 2 I didn't even know existed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, it's time, dude. Just let Leslie Nielsen be Liam Neeson. And they're both LN.
Let it breathe.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
They have suspiciously similar names.
That's what
Liam Neeson.
It's fucked up.
Leslie Nielsen.
That's what I said. At least try to cover your tracks, Illuminati, little bit.
Yeah, please.
Like, try to cover the shit up. Don't make it so fucking obvious, man. Like, that would, like, what would be the meaning there, right? I don't know.
Just to
fuck with you? Liam Neeson, Leslie Nielsen.
Just weird. Just dude. To prep us when the lizard people take over.
They're letting you know before it happens.
Yeah. And then the names will get more mixed up as we go. I don't know.
Oh, I like that. They're letting you know that it's like Severance, like where everyone's actually like got 15 identities that they are disassociated.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that there some it is. Shit like there, that. Right there. You got it. You that's know, what yeah, it is. That that's the point
of,
I was
it's
making.
That level of fucking tardation. Can you say tardation? We could say that.
All right. You could say tardation. I mean,
you could say it you, and be that.
Yeah.
What other
trailers? There was a new poster up at the Grossmont Theater for the new Toxie movie. It looked really cool. The poster, at least.
For new
which the one? New Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm excited. I love Trauma. My dad showed me a lot of Trauma.
It's Peter Dinklage, right?
Yeah. Macon Blair directing it, which is cool.
It's weird. And it almost didn't see the light of day or something, right?
For like 2-3 years, yeah.
Yeah, that's
and then who was that picked it up? One of those indie fucking like Dread Central kind of things, you know, picked it up. I forgot who
Bloody
was.
Disgusting?
Yeah, like what, something like that. Dread, I don't know. Somebody.
Winston
Screambox. I don't know.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
I think we should have him back on the show.
Who?
Brian.
Asman?
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, we're going to run out of, like, new horror releases for, like, a minute after Weapons, so, like, I'm down to just have him pick a movie if he wants to do one so he can be, like, ultra-prepared for it.
He'll probably pick something good.
Yeah.
That would be a bummer. You know what I mean?
If he picks something actually good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be a bummer. I don't want him in here to talk about something good.
Yeah. Well, I remember one of the first times I met him, the episode was Midsommar.
Yeah.
And Matt disliked it. You were on the fence at the time, but you warmed up to it more by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Asman were like, this movie's fucking great, bro. This movie's great, bro. It was that kind of thing.
Is that what you said?
That's what he said. I think that's, yeah, that's both what we said. What you been watching there, Jacob?
Shit, one of my notes says Andor season 2. I finished it. I don't know if I mentioned it in the last episode.
I don't think you did, okay. Man.
So I finished it. And, that was a few weeks ago, and I'll have to say that I have not stopped thinking about it, like, every single day.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wake up, and maybe if I'm feeling a little down, I'll listen to, like, Nemec's Manifesto, you know what I mean? And yeah. I'm just like,
This is a little fucked up for me, guys.
I totally agree.
I don't like you guys talking positively about Star Wars.
Look, man, you don't get to fucking rub my rhubarb on this.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
I didn't like it either.
We didn't watch it.
I didn't even watch
it. We went out of our way not to watch it until it was done with both seasons.
I slept on it for like 2 years.
Here's why I'm watching it.
I don't like it.
As usual, I don't watch it based upon, oh, it says Star Wars, so therefore it's good. That's not the idea. I watched it in spite of it being Star Wars.
I watched it because I saw Dan and Tony Gilroy.
Exactly.
And I'm like,
that's fucking
holy shit. This is a guy who's totally been outspoken and said he fucking hates Star Wars now and wanted to make a film that could be Star Wars but doesn't have to be, just a story.
Yeah.
And then put Star Wars over it, and it works perfectly. And this, you will never see the Empire so despicable. It makes your blood boil. The shit you see, the atrocities, and I'm like, it makes Rogue One not only better because it builds on it, it also makes it worse.
It's not as good as the show.
Because it's not as good as the show.
I swear, I agree.
Yeah, it was like, it's better because of all the backstory and context, but now it's like, this shit's kiddie in comparison to Andor. Yeah,
because it's like, it like, you like Rogue One, right?
I do.
And so do I.
Like, yeah, me too. Yeah.
Jacob Ryan, fucking, like, I think it's great. After watching the whole show, like, it, like, just like you said, it enriches the movie because it's, you have backstories and all this stuff and it lines up seamlessly.
It really does. It starts exactly where it leaves
off. The way it flows, though, is it's like moments don't breathe because it's two hours.
Yeah.
The music cues are different.
Mm-hmm. And I've been a movie guy my whole life. I don't do the shows. I watch like two shows a year and I'm like, okay, I get it. Like,
yeah, you haven't watched True Detective season 4 yet.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you gotta try that out, man. That's really something.
That's cinema, dude.
Where Doctor Who fucks Jodie Foster.
it's
Doctor Who.
You know what, dude? I'm ashamed, honestly, because you've watched a Star Wars thing and you haven't watched Night Country.
Thanks, man. Yeah. That's good. Now I'm on your side.
Now you've
yeah. It's okay. Such a trip, dude. Like, seriously, Night Country and Last of Us season 2 are waiting for you, dude. They're both Emmy nominees.
Yeah.
Oh, Andor got shut out for what? It got nominated for quite a few, I think. Oh, like
writing for the episode, the Mon Mothma extraction episode. And then directing an Emmy for directing for the, without spoiling the Plaza episode, I think it's the fourth or the fifth episode from the finale, and that was the one that, like, I fucking cried watching it. It was like,
is Babu Frick in it at all?
No, he's dope though.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he's dope. Dude. When watching that show carefully, there isn't a single fucking CGI alien. Every single one is like practical effects.
Yeah, dude. Jorge, seriously, like, this is like, I mean, look, if I had just showed up to it and had no attachment as growing up with Star Wars, Andor is better than anything in the film. Yeah. It reinvents what Star Wars can be.
And season 1's really good, but, like, we're mostly talking about season 2, like, because season 2 is the real connective tissue to Rogue One.
Yeah.
First one is all set up, but it is amazing. But
yeah,
this second one is just fucking crazy.
Dude, yeah, this Gorman Massacre episode, like, we didn't want to watch the next one for 2 or 3 days because it was too heavy. It was too close. Especially in the middle of this, all this bullshit going on.
Like, it was, it's crazy how relevant it was. It was disturbing. Yeah.
It really is, dude. And they don't pull any punches, those Gilroys, man. Like, they have a fucking stormtrooper. He's like, they're like, you know, execute the order. Well, they don't say it. It's not dumb like that. It's not like right? Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah,
proceed. She's like, proceed. And then, like, there's a bunch of people that are protesting, and you got, like, all the fucking stormtroopers in riot gear and all this bullshit, and they're occupying these people, and they're trying to rouse them up, and then the people are being peaceful no matter what, and then it's like they have a fucking sniper shoot one of the fucking stormtroopers, and that it looks like the protesters did it, and then they start beating the fucking out of the fucking protesters and killing and shooting them, and it's like, dude, what am I, like, what are we watching
yeah. right here? And
it's
like,
of the times.
It's too much,
dude. And you know what, dude? Not only does it enrich Rogue One, even New Hope, because it talks a lot about Tarkin,
yeah,
without even showing him in it,
yeah.
And you're like, dude, I fucking hate Tarkin,
yeah, because it's like it's taking advantage of the fact that, like, you have three movies people grew up with, the original trilogy, mm-hmm. and there's only, like, you know, we're talking about 6 or 7 hours of film, and these characters have, like, occupied space in people's heads outside of those 6 or 7 hours. Like Boba Fett, right? I grew up thinking Boba Fett's fucking awesome.
And he had, like, 8 minutes of screen time.
Yeah, because I've filled in my head, yeah. I've mythologized him, and they do more of that with Grand Moff Tarkin and all these dudes.
This is crazy, out of all people, yeah.
Yeah.
So after Andor, I rewatched Thunderbolts because it's now on video. Oh. Loved it the second time. It's great. It's sad to, I forgot that it did so bad at the box office, which is total bummer.
350 worldwide, yeah. 400. Something like that.
It's crazy that that's a flop for Marvel standards.
That's wild, yeah. Best
Marvel film I've seen in a while.
Mm-hmm. We're getting close to that. We're almost done with Far From Home, I think, right now.
Oh, you're doing that.
With the kids, like, slowly but surely kind of working our way through.
That's good.
We're going to skip a bunch of the fucking bullshit.
But yeah.
We'll get there.
Like Ant-Man 3?
Yeah. Yeah.
God, dude. That's like, yeah, I think that's that and the Marvels, right? That's got to be the lowest.
Yeah,
and Eternals.
We'll skip the Marvels. We'll skip the Eternals.
90% of the TV shows.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, dude.
We were watching Loki, and
that's the only one.
The
right?
kids dug it, so I was like, oh, okay.
I heard season 2.
WandaVision.
Yeah, WandaVision's good.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was good.
It was fun. Yeah. It took like 3 or 4 episodes for me to like, I was like, am I going to keep watching this? And then it did something totally different, episode 4, I think. And it was like, oh, shit.
I want to get to Guardians 3. That's where I'm like, that's my goal for right now.
You're going to ruin your kids with that one, dude. They're going to be traumatized.
That's good, dude. They need to cry every once in a while. Yeah. Really let the adrenochrome out.
That's the movie. I saw an advanced screening of Together, which I won't speak, because I'm sure we're going to do that. I think it's wide releases this weekend.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
30th.
It's you guys will see. Yeah. And the other film, and I can transition to yours if you want to talk about it for a little bit, but
oh dude.
Motherfucking Ari Aster's Eddington. It's been definitely like the talk everywhere on social media, Letterboxd. It's the divisive film of the year. And it's
shit is good, dude.
It went from like I don't know where I rank it in my listing. It's probably the fourth. I like them all, but maybe it's my least favorite of all my favorites. Maybe it's the third. And then like a week passes by, and I'm like, dude, this is probably my first or second favorite of his. Like I am obsessed with this movie.
Yeah.
And holy shit, the discourse online is unbelievable, I love it.
Is great.
And it's great because
it's the best thing that could happen.
Yeah. And there, like you said, you kind of questioned it, but you said it like it's a satire. And I'm like, really? And then just like Ari Aster said in an interview, there is a point, a very specific point in the movie with an airplane. And it's like, we are full satire.
Oh, dude.
It's like, this is, you know, you fucking MAGAs want conspiracy?
Like, yeah. Like,
we'll give you conspiracy.
Let's imagine it was actually like that.
Yeah.
Like, this is what would happen. Like, yes, they're funded by George Soros, and they're going to show up to start dumpster fires.
What a strange, like, the Rotten Tomatoes and the IMDb scores are, like, weird.
It's awesome. It's awesome, Jorge. It's exactly, this is one where it will age beautifully.
And when you watch it, you need to, before you even make any criticism of it, like sit on it for 24 hours, 48 hours, and then you'll be like, oh shit, like this movie was doing something.
Oh dude, yeah. Like I wish we could do, I'm not going to do spoilers, one for our audience right now, but also to specific, really, because Jorge hasn't seen it.
Okay.
The scene you're talking about with the plane, though, that's when this movie became something completely different there. And that's just like, that is such, when they talk about like taking a big swing, like that's fucking huge.
This was the one of
that's
the year.
Like beyond, that's like Kubrick, like beyond, like you went beyond right.
And then there's,
it's brilliant.
Yeah. And then some people who watch it might be a kind of horrified by some of the stuff that happens on screen. Some of the stuff that people say.
Yeah.
But I was fucking laughing my ass off.
Oh dude.
Like it's so real, but to the point where, you know, it's,
well, and I think, too,
it's... like, we went through this, you know?
Yeah, and people haven't really processed it.
Yeah.
And it is, like, a lot of PTSD and...
Oh, is it, like, right at the beginning of COVID stuff?
Yep.
The tagline of the movie is...
And everyone's, like, living on their phone and turning into a maniac.
Yeah, the whole thing is just about the whole interpersonal communication just being completely...
There's no shared narrative anymore. It's all
fucked.
Yeah.
Everything's like, distorted.
Ari Aster had a good little thing, interview about how we used to be tethered. Basically, the way he sees it is when COVID, like he's over the last 20 years or so, the shared narrative thing has been disintegrating. And he makes the point in this movie that COVID is when it just, our tether to any kind of shared reality just snapped.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, COVID's over. It's like, no, we're still living in it. Like and it makes sense. Even more like the fact that he wrote this before this year too, like even.
Yeah. He added the COVID later. Yeah. He wrote this weird movie, like,
it's
way
so
longer.
It's just really zeitgeisty. And there's even like, they're showing a meme, like a meme pops up and it's like, it shows the universe and it's like, you are here paying taxes to pedophiles. And I'm like, this is too fucking on point right now. Like this is too much. Cause you know, that was the right saying that shit in 2020. Obviously. Yeah.
And it has that kind of, for some, for me, I don't agree with it, but it has that Coen Brothers effect where you watch one of their movies and like for the first time and you're like, what the fuck was the point of that? You know?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. It's good.
No, I agree with you. Like at the end of Burn After Reading.
Yeah.
And, I mean, some, you know,
Serious Man.
This is going to have Serious Man. Totally.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then like the last quarter of this, the last third, I mean, however you want to slice it up, is fucking thrilling. And it's bizarreness. And it's like, dude, talk about technical stuff too. Like the first time I was just like in shock, like with certain things. And I'm like, fuck, he like went there. Second time I got to really soak it up, like the form and the technique of it.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I don't know. I could legitimately not rank his films right now.
I couldn't. Me. Yeah, because after that, I rewatched. I was like, this is clearly better than Beau Is Afraid. And then,
or is it?
And then I rewatched it for the first time since seeing it in theaters. And I was like, it's Courtney's favorite Ari Aster movie, I think.
It's
and,
Sophia's
and she,
favorite,
and
too.
She was like, you got to rewatch it. Because she remembered it. I just kind of lost some of it. Yeah. And rewatching, I'm like, this is also fucking insane. I watch it right after till like 2 a.m.
And also like the look, it used to be like I love the first hour. I think I love the first hour. I love it. You could turn it off if you wanted as its own little thing. But when they get to the fucking house, I love that part. When they get to the woods, like it gets super dreamy and like fucking surreal, and then they go through that whole, it's disorienting. Then it slows way the fuck down on purpose when they get to the mom's house. And then it ends in this dark-ass fucking place.
Yeah, and I forgot
Patty, drowning in the fucking cave.
I forgot Patty LuPone plays the older version of his mom.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, dude, she's fucking acting the shit out of this, as she always does with all her stuff. She's a Tony Award-winning actress, you know?
Yeah.
It's good.
Sorry, we're just fucking here gushing about Aster. And
that's Eddie good. Too. That's good.
It is that good, man. And I honestly, like...
It's divisive. People listening, yeah. A lot of you have seen it be like, no, it sucked. And good. Like, I'm glad it's divisive.
I needed like a full...
Good. I'm glad you hated it.
Yeah. I needed a full 48...
I'd be worried 48. If you liked it.
I definitely needed like 48 hours to stew on it. And I was like, this was awesome. And the social media A24 shit they're doing, the new posters of like tinfoil cowboy hat, you know?
It's fantastic.
It's the conspiracy movie of post-COVID, you know?
Which is, it's great, especially after Beau, especially that first hour of Beau, because you have, in Beau Is Afraid, you had this very subjective point of view from this character who's clearly got some anxiety, some delusions, and you're living in his perspective. And this is much more externalized. This is like all of us went fucking nuts, right? And then, oh, the stuff it says about performative protesting, though, and stuff, too. Like, you know, when the white dudes start protesting, it's like, I don't have any right to do this on stolen land. it's so like, and of course people are like, oh, what is this, centrist? And it's like, no, it's showing that people are full of shit. Like, that, you know, at the end, he was going to go fucking kill that dude. And then something else happened and he ended up fucking flip-flopping because of how he looked on social media over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway. Jorge, I'm definitely curious to see what you fucking think of this one.
Okay.
I do think it's up your alley.
And that was one of the best actors to play a fucked up, you know, homeless dude. That actor is.
Brilliant fucking idea, too, with the homeless man. It's like, so good. And what
full
he was
circle,
saying,
full
I'll infect your house. Yeah, it's like he brings the fucking storm into the town, right? He brings COVID in.
Yeah, he's the, yeah.
But also, he's been disenfranchised the whole time, right? He's been like,
yeah.
He's blocked, like an Amazon truck shows up. He's like, fucking Amazon truck.
Oh, there's, just like Hereditary, there's background details everywhere. Midsommar, everything.
Constantly.
Yeah, background details everywhere. It's great. It's totally rewatchable.
Yeah. The scene where they go into the grocery store with the mask situation, fucking hilarious. Like just unbelievably,
because we all experienced that,
like exactly
all the audio design, and you hear all the background stuff. I was like, dude, this is like too much to handle.
Hand sanitizer, and it's like, oh, which side are you on? It's like, no, like it was fucking clown show, like all of it, like it's bad, like this was crazy. Yeah. What there were all no
and,
sides,
and then we're talking about Joaquin a lot, but Pedro was great too.
Yeah,
awesome. Anyway,
you gotta take a shit.
It's like half the show right there.
Yeah. What else? So Jurassic World Rebirth, you watched it.
Trash.
I left after an hour. Sophia and I said, let's go get donuts.
It's not even worth.
So you didn't get to see the gorilla dinosaur hybrid thing?
Oh, fuck, yeah, the
dicklosaurus.
Yeah, the dickhead looking thing.
Even like the intro scene where the guy's like, open the door, open the door. It's like, dude, why would you open? Like that would matter. And it was like, it was a candy wrapper. a candy wrapper gets sucked into the fucking air ventilation system and disrupts a whole containment system for a fucking dinosaur, Jorge.
That's crazy.
In the intro. That's what we're dealing with.
Oh, that's something.
Yeah, it's some of the laziest.
Oh, you didn't even get to see this, huh, Rhett?
No, that looks pretty dope though. Is that from the movie?
It's called the Distortus Rex.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, the D-Rex. They have a D-Rex.
And it is, unfortunately, it's Gareth Evans.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he did have his sense of scale. He always does.
It's the Neil Blomkamp thing with you got the dopest fucking visuals.
Yeah.
But just the storytelling and everything.
I've never seen Scarlett Johansson, like, just phone in a role like that either. Like, just completely, from what I saw. And as mentioned on the pre-show,
and I don't like to be like all like Mary Sue kind of thing, you know.
Oh, but yeah, but
dude, like even Courtney was like just rolling her eyes, like this is so bad.
Like, what does she do? Like, what is she gonna do? Karate kicked fucking Velociraptor? Like, who cares?
I gotta be honest. I don't even recall any marketing for this fucking thing.
Oh, they did.
I mean, I'm sure it was.
I think they blew their low like early on, and then they just stopped.
Yeah, it's up to about 700 million, which is still ridiculous. That's
crazy.
But it's still it's like the Transformers effect, the seventh Jurassic film, and it's the first in forever to gross a billion.
And a lot of people talked, and a lot of people watched it, and you noticed no one talked about it online. Like everyone was like, I don't want. Let's pretend
I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, let's pretend we didn't see that movie.
it's not. Yeah. I saw also in theaters, I saw a film called I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Nah.
And why? Because it's a horror show, dude. No, the AMC pass, that's why. And this is more of the same. It's the stuff we've been talking about a while. It's a legacy sequel. They got Freddie Prinze Jr., they got Jennifer Love Hewitt, and they even have a scene, even though she died in the first one, with Sarah Michelle Gellar, which was the best scene in the movie. It's like, wow, this is inventive. Before going and seeing this fucking piece of shit movie, I was like, on our Discord, I was like, I can't wait to fucking go find out that one of the legacy characters is doing it to keep the tradition alive or something as a joke. And it's like, spoiler alert, because it shouldn't be a spoiler. That's what fucking it is. Like, it did not subvert expectations whatsoever with that kind of shit. And it's like the latest fucking horror desperate legacy sequel.
Yeah.
Does she say the line? Yes, she says the line. She says, what are you waiting for? Twice.
Oh, man. Too bad she didn't say,
get away from her.
You bitch. You Rex.
Well, the good thing is, what's sad to admit, now that we're here, her saying this in this movie makes more sense than that android saying that in that movie, because at least it's the same character. So that's what's fucking crazy.
Damn.
So I Know What You Did Last Summer, better than Romulus.
Whoa. That's
no, I know. That's fucking blasphemy. Hey, wait a minute though. Alien Earth is coming up in like 3 weeks.
New trailer for that and Predator Badlands dropped this week or last week, and both of them are just fucking looking better and better.
They fixed the CGI on that young Predator.
He's looking good.
He's looking better.
The the original working title was called Backpack, and then the new trailer you see why, because one of the androids is just a torso.
And he's wearing her
as a backpack. It's dope. And I think she might. There might be two androids. Ellie Fanning's playing two different androids because I know it's like I think two different haircuts.
Oh, robots again, dude.
What, dude? Did you see the character posters for Alien Earth? They were like.
I didn't. No.
They were basically. They're, I guess they're doing a riff on Captain Hook, like the Lost Boys kind of deal.
Oh, okay.
In some capacity, because one of them is named Smee.
I gotta check that out.
Dude.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what the other alien organisms are, because they said that there's five, I think. Five of the most dangerous aliens in the galaxy happen to crash land on Earth. So we're gonna get... I think they're gonna build it up to the Xenomorph, obviously, but it's gonna be good.
It'd be cool if they show E.T., dude. No? No, you think they'll show the Independence Day one, dude? That's in Badlands trailer,
it
though,
is,
right?
Yeah, it is.
That's a good little Easter egg.
Yeah.
You know, that's a fun one. Oh, it's the 50th anniversary of Jaws, which is fucking dope. And Universal Studios, is, it was, you know, we got the season passes and I heard they had like, so we went there and we got like, well, you guys, wait a minute. I already talked about it last time. I showed up fuck with all the,
well, the merch, the hat, dude.
Yeah. The, but since then, we decided to watch Jaws 2 and 3 and Jaws 1. And Jaws 1, if you guys have ever seen Jaws, if you've never seen it, it's a great movie. The movie's fucking fantastic.
Well, what's weird is the actual like 50th anniversary movie re-release, remaster, whatever in theaters hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, August.
So, yeah, and it's so crazy because they already like sold all the popcorn buckets at AMC. Like I bought the cup, the souvenir cup.
It was weird timing about, yeah, what was up with that?
I was like, is it, I was like looking for the showings and I was like, what the fuck? Like I bought the soda cup and I'm like, where's the movie?
Right. Yeah, because yeah, I didn't even know they were doing that. I was like, what the fuck? I went out of my way to watch it on Peacock,
yeah,
you know, because they have all four on there now. And it's a notoriously great film and a bad series because they killed the shark at the end of the first one, for Christ's sake. And then do they get Spielberg back? No. Do they get John Williams back? No. Do they get any of the cast besides Roy Scheider in the second one? No. And Jaws 2 is fucking insane.
Like a lot of screaming at kids.
Yeah, it's it's the best of the sequels, which isn't saying much. But dude, there is a scene I just want to say, like where a lady's in a rowboat and the shark charges it, and he's fucking he's coming at her, and then it's supposed to be like she spills gasoline on herself, but it's more like she dumps it on herself, and then shoots a flare. She's trying to shoot a flare gun at the shark, which lights her on fire. And so the shark and her are on fire while the shark eats her, and then the boat explodes, and it's like Michael Bay's like fucking 1980 Jaws 2 scene. Like it's like what the fuck? It's a crazy scene, dude. And then the end, like he electrocutes the shark.
Yeah,
you remember that?
Yep, I do. Yeah,
that's fantastic. There's a real weird scene where this guy's super fucking weird with this kid. I'm sorry. He's like, I'll break your ass if you don't come over here, Danny. Like, I know that's not what they meant, probably, but damn. But Jaws 3 is a different thing altogether. Jaws 3 is 5 years after that, and Dennis Quaid's in it. And Dennis Quaid said every day on the set, he was doing a bunch of cocaine. And it makes sense. Because there's a part where he's, like, fucking grabbing a golf cart to get over to the shark, and then he's, like, driving it and then falls out of it down a hill. And he's waving his hands in the air. Oh, shit. And it's just, it's fucking crazy. And it's a great white at SeaWorld in Florida, which would be no threat because...
Don't get in the water.
Are you swimming? Are you, like...
just don't get in the water.
Yeah, and it's fucking... It's something else, dude. And
I know you guys are excited for Happy Gilmore 2.
Yeah, I'd be excited if it was in theaters.
Oh, really?
I would.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're all, because you're dumb. No, dude, look, dude, like, if you're gonna... Like, why is it a Netflix thing?
All of Adam Sandler's stuff's on Netflix. Yeah,
I like why you know is Happy Gilmore 2 should be an event. You know, I thought it already came out. I thought it came and went already.
I haven't had a Netflix subscription in like ages.
Yeah, dude, they did a fourth Beverly Hills Cop movie last year, 2 years ago.
They did.
On Netflix. It's like, dude, don't do that. Like, don't fucking, if you're gonna, like, don't do that. I know 3 underperformed, like, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it's weird. It's weird to take, like, a fucking, do a legacy sequel to Netflix only, you know, to me. Are you excited about Happy Gilmore 2?
No.
Oh, okay. What about Chubbs, dude?
Damn.
We did not get to Jaws 4 yet with my cocaine.
Damn. My cocaine.
And the sonar device they used to fucking... Have you seen that one,
no.
Jacob?
No, I know of... Yeah, it actually has a vendetta. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The shark has... it's literally called Jaws Revenge, yeah.
Yeah, dude. I think it's got like a 6% Rotten Tomatoes and a 3 point something out of 10. And
that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I see... Yeah, yeah. Also in August, I got my tickets for Shin Godzilla. That's coming out remastered.
Have you seen that one? Love you? It. Oh, yeah, because you saw all that it's shit. Fucking good. Yeah, you said that was dope. That
one's like a total like procedural. Dark, right? Yeah. There's some body horror shit towards the end a little bit. It's good.
And the thematic thing is like...
just the bureaucracy of the chain of command and like the whole city having to come together.
Chernobyl?
That's what it feels like, yeah. Like shit like that.
Dude.
It's good.
Yeah, that's coming out in August, right?
You should check that out in theaters. Like that's that when I watched it at home, I was like, "This needs to be. I need to see in theaters."
How about you, Jorge?
Sure. Yes. What did I say yes to? I don't know.
What about the Gold Rushers? Oh, I was wrong. 2% Rotten Tomatoes.
They're in between series right now.
Okay.
Yeah, we're waiting for. Yeah. We'll see. It'll be good.
We'll see what's up with the Gold Fuckers. The gold?
The gold.
I love gold.
We'll be right back.
My cousin, who's, I think, about your guys' age, has a son. And he's
old.
Like, and he's like 17. He's a good kid, and he always looked up to me, and he got into, like, Aliens and Predator and stuff. And now he's like, I want to be a director. And he looks kind of like the older brother in Bring Her Back. And he's like, Bring Her Back's my favorite horror movie of the year. I'm like, this guy's cool, you know? And
he's like, I want to be a podcaster just like you.
Yeah, you know, I was telling about that. I was doing like, oh, yeah, I do like a podcast now because I haven't seen him in about 6 years when he was like much little kid. And he was like giving me advice. And he was like, you guys got to do clip farming. And I was like, damn, this guy kind of like, he kind of gets it though. And he was like, you guys just go through the show and then you edit like the movie clip over the dialogue and find like a funny thing. It's like, dude, we can make good money off that.
Everyone misunderstands the whole thing. None of that's going to happen on this show.
Yeah.
This whole like effort thing, like structure.
Get the
fuck out of here, man. What do you think? Is this Joe Rogan? Huh? We're gonna have like a sign?
Oh, wait, we have a sign. We do have a sign.
No, it's a joke. Hey, we're back?
We're freaking back.
Can we say it with some zest? Or is
not
it
too much, not too much
zest. We're back.
There you go. That's a decent amount of zest.
We're back.
We're fucking back, man.
Fuck yeah.
Wow.
Oh, you didn't like it?
Come on. So the Ugozer podcast watched a little movie called The Ugly Stepsister, 2025's Ugly Stepsister, directed by Emily Blickfeldt, and also written by Emily Blickfeldt, starring a bunch of Scandinavian folks.
Totally.
Only actor I know from here, from this thing, is Thea Sophie Lochness.
She's foreign.
She was, Ronnie and I watched a show called, what the hell was it called? La Palma?
Yeah.
And it was the one about the island that was going to be volcanic erupted on. And she was in that show.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember that one.
Yeah.
Oh, you watched, it reminded me of the one in L.A., what was the fucking, the La Brea? You started watching that La Brea show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tar pits and shit. Ended up being a fucking, a portal to prehistoric.
That's fucking Earth. Awesome.
It's wild.
Hollow Earth.
Fuck. Oh my God.
The Ugly Stepsister.
The Ugly Stepsister.
We're saying it like it's fucking Auschwitz, you know, but...
It kind of felt like it.
Well, that's the thing. It's Northern Europe. Scandinavia is very North Europe. There are some similarities.
Very Nordic.
Very Nordic. What'd you think?
I mean, I fucking hated this movie, dude. Look. I think it's well done.
Oh,
but I fucking hated it.
Oh,
like almost every minute of it.
So you hate women?
Just kidding. It's dumb. I mean, maybe.
Oh,
maybe.
Oh,
yeah. This is definitely like I was getting radicalized to the left the last couple weeks,
and this put you
and
back.
This kind of put me more centrist.
Don't do it, man.
No, but seriously, I did not enjoy this film almost at all. There's a couple little moments here where I'm like, it's cute, I guess, but was not a fan.
Oh my god!
But go ahead, guys.
It's just me and you. I guess we're going to talk about it. For me, this is like kind of like the sleeper hit of the year for horror films. It kind of just came out of nowhere. It was in theaters for like one weekend. Came out on Shudder. This is a directorial debut for Emily Blichfeld. And I like that the movie kind of at times like horrifies its viewers, but it kind of reaches out to them. And I'm just liking this like new generation of like angry kind of feminist body horror that's kind of just adding more and extending kind of the genre a little bit. I don't know. I like that it completely disregards
woke is dead.
Dude. Oh, I like that it disregards the fairy tale cliches and it carries out all these like vulnerabilities in the film and kind of like it highlighting kind of like the substance. That's an easy, obvious comparison, highlighting the toxicity of like comparison culture and how terrible, you know, the world of like, you know, beauty standards and that shit is, you know, it's in the whole industry too. This is like based a little bit in history mixed with obvious like supernatural fairy tale stuff. It's I thought it was really fascinating. And then for a first time movie, there's just a lot of passion behind it. And yeah, this director, she said she saw Crash in like film school, Cronenberg's Crash, and like the rest was history.
Not the Matt Dillon.
No, not the Matt Dillon one. No.
Every time that comes up, that's what happens. Yeah. I watched it right before coming over here tonight, finally. I had been meaning to for a while, and like you said, it came out of nowhere. It had limited release. I didn't get to see it in the theater. Thankfully, Shudder. It's on Shudder if you haven't seen it. I was real happy that King Hans. This is technically a Hans pick, which is unusual because usually a Hans pick is like something from not the year we're in.
Yeah.
And it's like Killer Condom, you know, which is fantastic.
Which is better than this.
Well, whoa. What is Killer Condom's better than fucking Jesus Christ on the cross? Wait a minute. That's it went one way and then it went to the opposite.
Yeah.
No, but I really, really respect this movie, and I was pretty fucking impressed with this movie. And look, I'm not gonna use any woke idioms, okay? This is a fucking, it's a takedown. It's a complete takedown of when a time, the good old days, when everywhere was Epstein Island, right? When everyone, all women, as soon as you were 13 or 14, you better get to work and sew some fucking shit into your eyeballs so you could have bigger lashes if you want to compete and survive. And you better fucking, if your feet don't fucking fit in the shoe, you chop off your toes because you've already gone this far. So now you can't stop. The fucking tapeworm thing. Like, it starts with the fucking nose thing, which is, that is rooted in history. Like, they did fucking do that shit. And, I mean, and it's like, and what? Why is that good? And about, dude, it's fucking crazy. The beauty standards that were set up by men for women to maybe be able to survive with the prince. It's a total inversion of the fucking Cinderella thing.
Yeah.
Complete,
beauty standards have been around, I think, for like 25,000 years. They found like statues and figurines of like beauty idealism and shit like that. And what do they call it? The fertile statues and stuff. Remember like in fucking 13th Warrior? Mm-hmm. Like those things, those were like the ideal. Mother. Like obviously the shape of the ideal woman has changed over time, but like that's always not been for a thing.
Brother.
Hell yeah.
It changed into a 13-year-old girl for a long while. And with the pedophile elites,
nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed. They're like, we just got to keep it how it was, brother.
Keep it prima nocta.
There's a place for us, brother.
Mm-hmm. There's an island.
Where every day is a wonderful secret. sorry, man. But no, like, fucking. Well, seriously, though, and it's like this shit was the norm, and of course, like, it revolves around, like, this prince. He's a prince and all that. I didn't know it was the writer-director's first film. I hadn't, like, done the the dive into that stuff. But it was interesting. She uses, like, you know, obviously it's a low, it's not just a foreign film, it's a relatively low budget foreign film, it seems like. By low budget, I don't mean like it looks like low budget. It looks like they shot on location, obviously, in like old castle type deal. takes place in the fictional country of what was it? Swedlandia. Because at first I was like, wow, is that just like what they say they call Sweden? I looked it up and it's like, no, Swedlandia is just a fictional.
Oh, shit. Yeah, old, yeah.
Yeah, Nordic country. Because it's a Norwegian movie.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah.
But besides that, I thought the performances, like especially the main actress, a lot is asked of her. Mm-hmm. And the director has a great focus of what to give emphasis to, whether it's her face, her facial expressions, the body horror stuff, the practical effects were, I mean, the shit looked really, there wasn't a single time where I was like, this is hokey with that stuff. And,
And visually, I thought visually, just like you were saying, like how it looked, I think it was very pretty. And there was kind of these, both like a period piece with a lot of modernization with like the synth score and everything, and yeah. I guess the director, she didn't want to come off as kind of pastiche and wanted to stand out a little bit, so that's why the synth score kind of came in there and a lot of the saturated colors. Yeah. She said, like, aside from like Cronenberg and Julia Ducournau being kind of like big influences, obviously, yeah, like the visual elements were like total, like
Sofia Coppola
ripped off from totally ripped off, she said, from like Argento and Fulci and everything. So it kind of has like the bloom effect, like the grease smeared lenses. Yeah. It has, yeah.
It's like not out of focus, but that makes sense.
Yeah,
like,
in some parts of the movie, I don't know. I didn't keep track, but I read somewhere someone said like as the movie goes on, it kind of gets a little bit more saturated with color and stuff as she gets closer to what she thought would be like her dream come true, and then until she gets hit with reality, you know. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's good visual storytelling. Super good. It's based off a fairy tale, and I feel like the movie kind of quote unquote writes itself. You could watch the film on mute and kind of get the whole gist of it, and I don't know, very digestible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, Jorge.
Here's the thing. I can't really even disagree with anything that you're saying.
Like, I don't think it.
I think the visual stuff is fine. The soundtrack or the score is a little jarring to me because it's like, I get what you're doing, man. You're doing this like disparate mood thing, and it's like, all right, it's
juxtaposition.
It's kind of cute, dude. I don't know. And it's like half of the performances were good to me, and then the other half was like the stepmom, and I'm like, fuck out of here.
The stepmom?
Yeah.
The old white bitch?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's everybody was an old white bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to say, like, I, like, enjoyed her performance, but I do like how she, you know, she's kind of revealed as, like, the main villain, the evil stepmother, obviously. Yeah, we haven't even mentioned, this is obviously a spin on Cinderella.
Yeah.
I don't know if we mentioned that, but...
She even calls her Cinderella.
Yeah, and I think so there's something like...
This is like in a universe that Cinderella exists, like the story at least?
It is the fairy tale of Cinderella, but told from the perspective of
what he means is if a character is mentioning it, like,
so I guess it's meta. My buddy saw it. I think he was telling me something about, like, in that... and I don't know if it's a Norwegian thing, but like Cinderella is like kind of used as almost not like a slur, but it's kind of like a negative thing to call someone that, because that's not her name, you know. What was her name? I forgot.
Agnes.
Yeah, and then the main girl is Elvira, and there's Alma. Yeah, Rebecca's the mom. Who, like I was saying, the mom I feel like is the kind of the main villain. She's the one who's pressuring all of the beauty standards and you have this the audience is played through the younger stepsister, right, who isn't evil in any way, but you seeing the world through her eyes and watching, you know, her own sister and her mom just kind of, you know, fucking ruin their lives.
I guess where I'm most kind of annoyed by it is that it's trying so. It's doing the thing where it's okay, we're trying to be meta by going so far past meta that it's like unironic again.
What do you mean?
What
the fuck?
I know. I I feel like an asshole saying that, but I...
What like, is it, like Asteroid City or something? Like, come on.
Yeah, right, fuck.
Did you try that one?
No. No, I could. Too much. The trailers, I was like, nah.
Too much. Nah,
not doing it.
Yeah. A parody of himself, kind of. Yeah.
So, like...
Yeah, get away from Roman Coppola, dude. Like fuck it.
The idea that she's... That she's trying to, like... buy into beauty standards of the time, right?
The character?
Yeah.
Well, okay. I'm going to
table it. Well, no, go ahead.
So, having just watched it, like, I think it's important to reference the beginning. Like, you know, I'm usually not like, oh, plot. Like, let's do a fucking book report about the plot. But it's important for what you're saying, I think. The, her mom is marrying this dude, and it's mutually beneficial to both of them.
Supposedly, right?
Supposedly. Yeah. The thing is, this guy has this estate, but they don't have much money. And then she did have some commodities. And then he dies very quickly.
And they're all broke.
Which is a great... By the way, that's the thing. Like, he dies and fucking coughs blood in her face, which is very abrupt. And then it switches to a dope fucking credit sequence. Like... Very nice style. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like some Emerald Fennel type deal, but fucking Norwegian or something.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Oh, the still life table.
Yeah. Like, that's, I mean, little stylistic flourishes. That's what makes it's the film. Like, fucking, if you skip over that, all you have is the story. Like, this is the film. And then, anyway, though, like, she's talking to her stepsister, our protagonist. Is that Elvira?
Yeah.
Right? And she's like, yeah, my dad wouldn't come near you fucking people if it weren't for the money. She's like, what money? And she's like, your mom's money. And she's like, going to her mom. And it's like, mom, they don't have any money. And then she walks in there and it's already like they're dividing up her commodities while she's grieving. And then her mom's fucking having like a nervous breakdown, basically. And besides that, she's just lost this guy and whatever, is basically like, what the fuck are we going to do? And then she's like, I can get married. And because that was the thing. Like, it's like Jane Austen novels where, like, if they can't get married, they're going to be fucking old maids or prostitutes.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. Like, if you couldn't get married, you were going to be an old maid or a prostitute. Like, that's really, like, that's what you had coming to you. And, like, this is not woke. You know, I'm not saying that like I need to fucking qualify it to you guys. It's not like, oh, poor women. Like, seriously, poor. Like, they couldn't vote here until the fucking 1920s. They couldn't even fucking vote. You get what I'm saying? Like, the shit was bad. So they couldn't survive. Either way, they had to survive with sex, either prostitution or you marry into survival. And if you were fucking lucky, you might have some feelings or develop some feelings for each other and shit like that, right? But so. When we talk about her buying into the beauty standards of the time, it's gradual. Like, she's doing what she has to try to fucking help the family to survive. Because that's it. Just like a guy would go to war. Like, it's a fucking meat market. For the women, it's sex. For the guys, it's fucking...
Blood.
It's blood. It's blood and cum. It comes down to the blood and the cum. No, but, But then, like, the first step towards that is the nose breaking, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is, like, dude, which is a crazy... He's like, 1, 2, 3, and just the crack. And she's screaming, and the mom is just fucking smiling like she loves it. That her daughter is committing to this beautiful transformation.
Super twisted, yeah.
Yeah, so, anyway, that's what I think the motivation is. But then, like you mentioned, the substance, each successive part she does... means she can't really go back. The braces get ripped off. The nose gets broken. Then the fucking eyelid thing.
Yeah.
And like, I Googled that. They actually did that, dude. They would sew on fucking eyelashes to people's eyelids.
It's creepy and very predatory. Yeah.
Well, and these how are you shot that and scene was fantastic.
Yeah, and these are all like, you know, back then, these are like probably like 14, 15-year-old girls too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is just maybe for the guy to fucking, you to be good enough for the guy. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you'll be good enough to fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. She's
and I miss it. Like I wish things were like that. You know what I mean? No, I don't.
I do. I was glad to see it. Almost did a disservice when you watched the trailer for it. They were completely copying The Substance with like the big bold letters and colors and stuff like that.
Oh, were they?
Yeah. And they were very, the way it was edited was very much like The Substance trailer. And I feel like that kind of does a disservice because the movie isn't like the body horror is like, you know, the money shot like Monstro in The Substance. It's very much, there's elements of it, but it's just like just twisted in general, you know. And I was kind of glad, it was kind of refreshed that it wasn't just an all out like assault, you know, of body horror shit.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, I was mentioning how twisted some of the movie is. Like even how they twist the narrative of, you know, like the it's trying to say like, you know, it's all about what's in the inside, not on the outside, obviously. But like they even fuck with that with the tapeworm. Isn't that what she says? It's like it's all about what's in the inside and gives her a fucking tapeworm. She gives her
a locket with a fucking egg of a tapeworm, which is like just fantastic, dude.
Yeah, and it's something they only build up with the sound effect. The sound design is great too. The gurgling of the stomach and stuff and the eating. And you don't,
like me every morning.
Yeah. And you don't read in the way they build it up. And then the movie's basically over and kind of like the epilogue revisits the tapeworm. And it's like
fucking disgusting.
It is so gross and vile. And I really was not expecting it to be like that. And that was, it lived up to like, people were like, yeah, it's a gross movie. And I'm like, there's some gory shit, but like, it wasn't gross. And you get to the tapeworm at the end. And it was well worth it for sure for me. Yeah.
What was interesting to me too, is when you'd hear the rumbling in the stomach stuff and it reminds you, cause you're filling in the rest, mm-hmm. right? It's just the sound. And then like she feels it and feels it like gnawing at her insides, and then she smiles because she's associating that with getting prettier and getting thinner,
mm-hmm.
you know. Thinner. And it's eating her from inside, dude. Oh my gosh, no! And then when they rip it out of her mouth, her sister, and it just keeps coming. Then there's that big ass fucking section of it at the end. But then it's like, I'm like, oh, this is like her baby. This is her fucking parasite, you know, because like when a woman carries a child, mm-hmm. it's a parasite.
Yeah.
No, and then then they fucking, and she cuts the fucking worm, like the umbilical cord.
Yeah.
Which is not like, oh, that makes it good. But I'm like, no, I appreciate like the fucking, it comes full circle. It's like a complete thought.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. But yeah, it was a bit like the Monstro thing. Not like, it's not over the top crazy like the Monstro thing. But the morning the fucking prince is there, she can't even like walk.
Yeah, she basically, everything she did gets undone in that morning. Like she
flashes her teeth out.
Yeah, her nose breaks and then now there's a bump there again. Yeah.
The teeth thing happens in The Substance, you know. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. For different reasons, but it is there's an analog there, you know,
yeah,
and it works pretty fucking well, you know. And then she has to, she doesn't even make it outside, you know. And then the toe thing, by the way, I mean that seriously, the writer director did such a good job to me of creating the tension. Like I did not want to watch that.
Yep, how it was shot was so great. They have these really kind of distant kind of camera setups and then ultra like macro lens like close-ups of the fucking severed toes dangling and by a piece of skin off,
which made it worse.
Yeah. I think it was practical, or even if it's CGI, it looks so great that it close up fantastic.
That was CGI, like that fucks.
Yeah, and that was actually in one of the iterations of Cinderella, because Cinderella's been around since 1634. But the Brothers Grimm version from like 1812 that had the ugly stepsister cut off her toes to try to fit the slipper. So that's kind of like the direct pull from that.
Really?
Yeah.
So what we're saying is there's not an original thought in this.
No, what we're saying is the Cinderella you know is the bullshit version.
Gotcha.
This is the real version.
Gotcha.
Original thought? It's, dude, Epstein Island has been done before, bro. wait.
I hear you guys talking about it and I'm like, yeah, okay, I agree. It, like thematically, it was like, oh, cool, they're doing this thing, and then like
good body horror.
The body horror is like fine, and it's like, but like ultimately, it's an hour and 50 minutes, and I'm like, fuck, this shit has to end now, like almost the entire time, like I. Her goofy ass face, and I know that's the point.
She's a good face. That and, good. She and, did and, good.
And, they ca- I thought they casted really well.
And they, oh, go ahead.
No, I just I don't really. Other than me being like a hater ass bitch, I don't really have too much more to add to it because, come on, like, man. Ultimately, I'm fucking bored by the whole thing.
Hate it, dude. Come on.
I do hate it.
Why? Why?
Tell me
why you hate it. We'll tell you. I'm not gonna tell you why you're wrong because it's just a matter of opinion, brother. Because you know what's overrated? Unity is overrated. Democracy is not about unity. It's about,
I want an autocracy.
Well, no. Democracy is about different opinions.
How do we get there?
We get there by having Nazi pedophiles on one side and septum blue hairs on the other. That's how we get there.
I stand with the septum blue hairs.
I have to stand with the septum. I mean, yes. You didn't give me much of a choice.
Yeah. I just find it all a little bit... I just find it all a little bit too fucking heavy-handed. And, like, and even the fucking tapeworm is done wrong. On top of it. You don't throw up a tapeworm. You shit it out.
Yeah, I pulled one out of my dog years ago. Yeah.
And I'm like, that's fucking... like, just me being, like, hypercritical about it. It's like, well, you don't know how fucking tapeworms work?
What do you mean? I don't know how tapeworms
work. You shit out a tapeworm. It doesn't live in your...
That's what Sophia said.
It lives in your intestines, not in your stomach.
I'm about to Google, can you fucking take a thing to get a tapeworm out of your... It's more cinematic to have it taken out.
Wouldn't it have been better if she shitted it out?
No!
It would have been awesome, dude.
That would have been that movie Pig.
Like, what if she, like, shits it out in the middle of the fucking ball?
So she's like just ripping it out of her butt?
Dude!
That would be dope.
If we're talking body horror shit...
I'm not gonna lie, I thought it was gonna end that way, too.
That's where I would want it to go.
I thought the antidote was, like, a suppository. I thought it was gonna be, like, she's gonna shit it all out. But, yeah, it did go out the other way. But I did like the visual of it. It was fucking horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's... That's a legit criticism that they did the tapeworm removal wrong. And I liked that it came out the mouth.
Okay.
Because that's how I'd want it.
None of
spit out the eggs.
None of my fucking complaints are like, oh, dude, like, it's bad filmmaking and it's bad acting. Like, some of it, yeah. But, like, I don't really have a specific thing where I'm like, this shit... That's why it's trash. I just feel like the whole thing was like, I got fucking, it's so fucking heavy handed. And I, like, thematically, I'm bored. Like, all this shit with the prince and then that shit with, like, oh, we're gonna fuck this virgin. I'm like, oh, great, dude. Great. Wonderful. Okay, cool.
That's just what they do, dude.
Sure. And do I want to watch a film like this and be like, yeah, dude, that's how it was.
And that's how now we're cooking.
He's making it like you're fucked up if you like this.
I just like the whole thing is like, and it's like, oh, dude, you know what the twist is? She's actually fucking the stable boy. Oh,
always, fuck. Always the virgin. Oh. The virgin is not a virgin.
And it's
idea.
They're obsessed with virginity. Of yeah, course. It's creepy. Because yeah,
it's about, like, let me take it from you. Like, I take it from you. This idea of purity and fucking... Well, and also, it does speak to the male psyche, though, doesn't it, Jorge?
Yeah, man. And it does. And again, and again, and again, and again.
You know what it reminds me of? Do you remember... well, of course you do. Clerks. He's asking his girlfriend how many dicks she sucked.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you suck 56 dicks?
37,
homeboy. He fucking...
Jesus Christ.
And it's like, try not to suck any dicks on the way to the parking lot. You know, that's this movie. That's what this is.
I mean... Same movie. I don't think you gained any support on that one.
No, I didn't. It was supposed to be absurd.
I know, it's satirical. I get you.
Yeah, but so you like Clerks, though?
What was that? Was that a ghost?
I think she's letting Dash out. I do like Clerks.
What do you like better, the Ugly Stepsister or Clerks?
I like Clerks 3 better than I like the Ugly Stepsister.
Oh, now we are cooking.
Now this is pod racing.
So cooked. You are so cooked, as they say. Clerks 3 is bad.
It's a vibe.
They dance to the Jackson 5 on the roof.
They sure do.
You shall not pass.
Damn.
It's a vibe.
It's a vibe.
Clerks 3 is a vibe.
This is me understanding that I'm being a hater ass bitch, and I get it. I'm at no point in this film am I having a good time, and so that means that, like, if I'm not having fun, that means it has to be impactful, right?
Hey, yeah, it didn't leave an impact on you,
and it does not. I'm like legitimately bored / angry, and I don't know, like, I don't,
that makes sense with you.
Those two emotions shouldn't exist next
see,
to each
fun
other.
See, they're fun or impactful, yeah. and you find it either.
Yeah, and The Substance was very impactful for you,
and it was fun,
and yeah. Fun.
And that's interesting because if you see online, there actually is a complete divide of like which one is better. There's people that really hated The Substance but loved Ugly Stepsister more, and then vice versa.
The surrealism threw some people off that are more
A lot of people were lost on the last 10 minutes of The Substance,
and I think intuitively a lot of people were lost on the you are one thing. Like, even when Matt was here, it was hard to explain to him because he couldn't. No, I'm not saying because it's just there, some people are very literal minded. Like, and so it doesn't make the jump to just the thematic thing of it. Like, it's, they're thinking the logistics out. Like, how does this work? Like, who's who? How is she both? And it's like, because this body's fucking not active while she's in this one. And it's like, you get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's inherently conceptual, but they're not explaining that part. They're just showing you.
I just have trouble with there even being any sort of comparison between the two. What are we even talking about?
I do see the comparison. Like, I think it's a great companion piece.
Sure, from like a 1,000-mile like view on it, yeah, you could maybe argue that they're like thematically similar, but like, who are these people that are comparing them to and being like, well, I really like this one and I don't like this one?
Oh, well, those people are idiots. No, I'm just kidding. No, you could see how thematically how they could be.
Yeah, but I mean, I also could see thematically like how Pocahontas is the same film. I just don't like the idea that anybody would be comparing the two films as like analogs to each other is frankly offensive.
No, it's not. No, I get that it's a gradual progression, and the more invested she becomes in it, the more of herself she loses, and she can't go. The toe things, like when she commits to cutting off her toes, that's Demi Moore at the end of the movie, or it's actually Margaret Qualley at the end of the movie, when she's sucking the last bit out of the fucking thing. It doesn't matter what it's going to do to her.
Right, she
like,
doesn't care.
It's just important, like, I need to get this. Like, once I do this,
it's good.
Then they'll accept me.
Yeah.
Then that whole thing. Once I do this, then they'll accept me.
Well, that
and it's like, no, you're gonna lose your fucking teeth.
That is, you know? One thing on of this movie that, like, I do agree with you guys that, like, when you're watching like an action movie, like, let's just pick John Wick as a thing, right? Like, none of his injuries really mean anything because, like, you're like, oh, he's gonna be, he'll be fine. He'll heal from that shit, right?
Yeah, in this one.
At least in this, you're like, well, she's fucked because, like, her body is legitimately fucked.
And I think that's what I could see more literal-minded, like, people who would, like, the surrealist stuff in The Substance, especially the third act where it just goes full bore, like, fucking society and fucking and basket case.
Yeah.
And all, it just goes off the walls. I think, this doesn't do that. It stays grounded, relatively. I mean, not even relatively. It stays grounded. Like, it doesn't really leave that.
Yeah.
Like, if you cut off your toes, you can't walk down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I fucking found that. Like, once she did that, I figured, like, we were going to see her try to hobble down the stairs. And they're like, no.
No, her sister had to carry her legs like a wheelbarrow. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Her fucking sister was doing that.
And not to forget, too, like, she gave up after the first foot, and then the mom was basically is encouraging her, yes. Which is why I was like, she's kind of the villain in a sense, even though she's a victim in her own way too, of course. And but you know, she was the most poisoned with these beauty standards and that pressure. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and then yeah, exactly, because you got the mom, the older sister, then mm-hmm. the younger sister, and the top two are you know destroying themselves. And
she's you know obviously older. She's much older. She's been through it. She's long accepted these norms.
Yeah,
and she's like, let me help you finish this.
Yeah, and she fucking cuts off her own daughter's toes, and I think that imagery is just like fucking crazy, man.
Yeah. And so best horror movie of the 21st century.
Sure.
No.
I don't think it's. I think just for a first directorial debut, it's just fucking amazing how much work was put into this. I was pretty surprised, and. Yeah, I think her and Julia Ducournau and Coralie Farja are fucking awesome. I think that trio of...
you'd put her up there? I mean, I have to see what she's
doing. I don't think... And nowhere near as close as those two, but I just like... It's crazy to see that we kind of have like this new wave body horror thing going on.
Well, and we've talked about that in the context of those two other filmmakers before. I'm not saying this to be woke, bro. It makes more sense. Body horror from a feminine lens makes more sense, frankly.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Apparently.
I'm a fascist.
Yeah, because... Oh, no. I'm a
fascist. No. It makes more... No, because look, I don't have... I don't ovulate. I don't have children. Like, all of this stuff. Like, dude, like, there's way more...
No, you're just going to die of ass cancer.
Oh, well, that's not the same thing, bro. Ass cancer. I'm getting a colonoscopy in August, bro. How did you know? You can tell? Does it show on my face?
Jesus Christ.
Hey, speaking of best horror films of the 21st century, to take us out here, not that that's a joke, too. Like, I hear these things later, and it's like, damn, people would think I'm serious, but no, this is not the best horror film of the 21st century to me,
I think. Oh, you're talking about that list you posted?
Yeah, man. Oh, so here's a list that is sure to piss off nobody. Yeah. The Hollywood Reporters, top 25.
What percentage of this list do you agree with?
Honestly?
I thought it's for me. It's like a good 70%.
I was saying 70, and then I started making my own list because I hadn't actually thought about making that list, and it's a fun list to make. I'm not mad at 70 to 80%.
Yeah, there's a lot that was left out. Yeah, for sure.
I'm not mad at exactly. I'm not mad at 70 to 80% of it, honestly.
Yeah,
like there's stuff that should be on here, like 25. They say Bones and All. I'm not mad it's there. I don't know if it's top 25, but I mean, shit, is Luca. It's fucking Twink Boy. It's fucking Cannibalism.
Hell yeah,
it's good.
So let's hear this list.
24 is Talk to Me, the Pinapu Brothers. 23 is A Quiet Place, which is, you know, it's a mainstream PG-13 suspense fest.
The impact of it's had, too. And yeah.
Very competent. One thing you do notice is the broad majority of the films are not, they're American films. Not all of them, though. Under the Shadow, which is an Iranian horror movie, which is fucking, I was glad to see on here, which is really good.
You've been wanting us to watch that.
Yep. That and Holy Spider.
Holy Spider.
Holy Spider fucks. Oh, damn. I'm going to wake up everybody. His House. I mean, it was good. It was on Netflix. Did you see that?
I haven't. Paul recently watched it, and he really liked it, yeah.
It's really good. I was surprised to see it on here, but I won't put it on there. But, it's, you run the risk of being racist if you don't. Say it. No, I'm just kidding. No. It's really good. It's a different take on the ghost story. Number 20 is Drag Me to Hell. Drag Me to Hell is a good choice. And honestly, I don't want to say forgotten about it, but I do forget about it from time to time. It's like fucking the only classic Sam Raimi type movie.
Loved it. I saw that in theaters. Yeah,
in the 21st century. Yeah, it was fun. It Follows should definitely be on this list. That's 19. Presence, which is crazy.
That's the newest Soderbergh.
Yeah. That's on here, and it's an interesting stylistic exercise to me how they decided to shoot it, but that's like, I mean, you haven't seen it, huh?
No, I've heard about it, though, yeah. Is it one of those, like, the real horror is the people?
kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Well, it's not so much, again, like the real big accomplishment of it is how it's shot and the perspective of it. And Soderbergh's messing with that. But yeah, I don't think it should be in the top 25. That's crazy. 17 is The Invisible Man. I'm a big fucking fan of The Invisible Man.
Good flick.
And also, like, talk about doing something new with an old trope.
Yeah.
That worked. Sinners. Jacob, you don't think this should be...
No, so, dude, I know. So we're going to be releasing that Sinners episode, and it's funny because, like, I've seen the movie, like, two more times since.
On HBO Max?
Yeah. And fucking... Dude, did you adjust? I love the movie. Yeah, it's fucking awesome. I'm, like, embracing, like, the fucking, like... Because now I know, like...
What to expect.
I know, like, the where the tonal shift happens, and I understand it as a whole now.
Going, you want to re-record the episode?
I know. People are going to listen to it.
We have time. People are going to listen to it, like, 2 months from now.
Yeah. Really? That's the next one.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Okay.
This week, then.
Oh, thank God. Saint Maud. I mean, fucking...
That's a weird one.
It is. Like, I like Saint Maud. Yeah. I think it's really... I like Rose Glass. I liked her follow-up movie, Love Lies Bleeding. Yeah. But I think Saint Maud is great, but I wouldn't do top 25.
I actually wanted that movie to be longer, because it was like 80-something minutes.
It was. Yeah. It felt... I'm glad that it's a... You know, when you have a film that's really tight like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't feel like I got the bang for my buck there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm looking. What he's looking? No, it's okay. The Others. The Others is a fucking classy ass horror.
That is cool. It was cool to see that on that list.
Yeah. And it holds up pretty damn well too. Nosferatu, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's where
trash.
Yeah.
Get the fuck, like your list is negated. No. And then number 12, Us. Us, like, I think Us is cool. I do think Us is, like, I don't know if it's top 25.
No. I mean, Get Out is. I would put Nope above Us, personally.
They don't even have Nope on here. Yeah. I think Nope is more consistent than Us. But Us has some really fucking, really interesting ideas. Us still has me, like, feeling like I'm not, like, I'm still missing something, but maybe not. Mm-hmm. You know, like, well, I don't get it yet. Like, with the rabbits and the tethered and the... Like, it has some crazy fucking ideas. Like, it make me like, is Jordan Peele like MK Ultra or what? Like, what's your problem? You know? No, and then The Witch. I mean, yes.
100%.
Yeah. Hereditary. In 10th place is way too fucking low, in my opinion. This is a top 3 21st century for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for a horror film. The Conjuring, look, I'm not going to hate on the first Conjuring.
Jesus Christ.
I know it's easy to hate on the first Conjuring, because everything, because it is. I don't know if I'd put it top 25, but I'm not mad that it's there. I'm not surprised that it's there. I'd prefer to put Malignant.
I mean, yeah, hell yeah.
Malignant's fucking
I rewatched it recently.
Yeah. It's good. Malignant, if you're going to put James Wan, and I know that's more of like the left field take, but so what? Like, I prefer Malignant to The Conjuring. Like,
yeah.
Pan's Labyrinth, fucking.
Pan Labyrinth?
If Pan's Labyrinth is a horror movie, like, yeah, it's fucking on this list. Like,
true.
Get the fuck out. Like, yeah. Train to Busan, I think I like it more than definitely Jorge or Matt.
Definitely love it more than me.
I wouldn't put it top 25, though.
Me either.
Yeah. It's almost an action movie. I mean,
yeah.
Well, no, either way.
World War Z.
Yeah, kind of. 28 Days Later, fucking yes. Mm-hmm. Top 25 for me.
That's good.
The Host.
Yeah.
Probably top 25.
Wow.
I like The Host a lot.
The Host is good. I feel like it's like almost more like straight sci-fi, like way less horror elements.
That's
true. But, you know.
Might exclude it. You're right, though.
It is a good fucking movie, man.
And I still want to see like Memories of Murder. You know, and then there's like.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Does stuff like Zodiac, is that a horror movie? Like, yeah. I don't know if we're counting stuff like that. But, The Babadook, Jorge's favorite, I would put it in top 25. I would.
Yeah.
Like, of what?
Me too.
He's all of what?
Of trash?
Let me kick you out of my fucking house.
Put it right next to the ugly stepsister.
Let the Right One In is fucking awesome.
Oh, you the U.S. one.
What number is this one at?
No, the Swedish one.
Oh.
Let Me In?
Yeah.
The U.S. one's okay?
No, it's not.
Isn't that Matt Reeves?
Yeah.
That's crazy. We're on number three. Let the right one in.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
So the Babadook was number four. Like, imagine putting Hereditary at 10 and the Babadook at 4.
See, yeah. That's fucked up.
That's what I said. These lists never piss anyone off. Number two is Get Out.
Okay.
And Get Out is like fucking universally mm-hmm. almost lauded, you know. And he won best fucking screenplay for that, which is crazy. Number one, and I like this, and so does Jorge, but it would be my number one is Under the Skin.
It's a good flick.
Oh yeah.
So they I'd like to revisit that.
They went full art house. They said, fuck you guys.
I'm like waiting for the moment where I'm like, I'm ready to revisit Zone of Interest. I've only seen it that one time, and I'm like, I need to get my Sennheisers hooked up again. And I'm like, fucking ready to zone out, you know?
Yeah. No, dude, I want to watch Under the Skin again and fucking I'd love to see that in a theater. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, revisiting Under the Skin would be cool. Annihilation.
I saw some idiot on fucking Reddit the other day. It was the sci-fi subreddit where they were talking about like Annihilation. It was like, does anybody else feel like this is an underrated gem? And I was like, are you fucking dumb?
I felt that way the first weekend it came out. Idiot. Yeah, dude.
What do you think about Arrival? Do you think Arrival's okay? It's like, are you fucking...
I mean, we need to do like a reoccurring bit on the show of you reading off the... you're on like that horror movie addicts.
On Facebook?
On Facebook, because they have some of the wildest takes. Like, I don't mean to all like elitist, but like they got like the most normie-ass takes, and it's so funny, dude. And I was on that page, too. I was like a member on that group, too, and it was too much, dude.
Yeah, dude, like, let me look at one right now. Let me find a good one.
They're going to be like, I just heard about this little movie called Black Phone, and it's 10 out of 10 or something.
10 you know? Out of 10, man.
Okay, so someone just found out about The Perfection. Okay, good for you. No, see that. Now I'm being... Dangerous Animals. I forgot to talk about Dangerous Animals on here.
You did see it, yeah.
Yeah.
It just came out in video, so I'll be watching it soon.
Yeah, we'll circle back to it. What's a good one here? Yeah, they have the worst takes, though. You're absolutely right. Like, they say some crazy shit. They said, like, what was it? Best alien movie, and it can't be E.T. And this is Horror Movie Addicts, which is also, like, a dumbass name for a thing. Like, it was suggested, so I'm like, yeah, let me look at this as a social experiment. Mm-hmm. So, like, mm-hmm. yeah, one of the questions is best, on Horror Movie Addicts, best alien movie, and it can't be E.T. And I said, well, I don't know, maybe Alien? Like, fucking... Like, goddamn, dude. I said maybe Alien and Aliens, and then like 15 people, it's like, oh, you might be onto something. It's like, oh, dude, good thought. And man. It can't be E.T. Like, is it rage bait? Like, are you fucking around? Like, yeah. And I'm not gonna hate on E.T., but you're on the wrong fucking page. And also, like, here's all the obvious answers. Alien, yeah. Aliens, The Thing.
The clear answer is Communion, though.
Oh, Communion. Yeah. Wow. If you want to be fucking cool.
Courtney still talks.
From Mars,
she still talks about Communion. That's like her favorite fucking movie, dude.
Mars Attacks, dude.
We should do Mars Attacks.
Love that movie, man.
I haven't seen it since it came out.
Wow.
Jack Nicholson's the president.
When's that homie going to die?
Dude, what is up with that guy still being alive? Yeah.
I don't know. He's on the list.
He's on Epstein's list?
Nah, he's on someone else's list that we'll never hear about. Yeah. There's so many islands.
He's far too elite for that to even be like, list.
So I'm not going to go to your fucking... This party is burnt.
Yeah. You've got my own island.
Oh, yeah. It's you know what's crazy, too, to speak... I guess it's a good wrapping up point. For the people that can't go to the island, they just go to Thailand, you know? You know?
Can't go to the island?
Go to Thailand. I'm being funny now, but like, I've known fucking people that go to Thailand and then they didn't like go into detail about, you know what, like all the shit is legal in Thailand.
Yeah, it's all the passport bros.
That's fucking like, it's bad, man. It's like, well, it's legal, bro. Well, it's legal on fucking Epstein's Island too, bro. Come on, man.
Come on, man. Come on.
Man. You're like, we will not rest, dude.
Nah, dude. No, because it's fucking fun, dude. This one is fun. Like, it's like the... We got 3.5 more years.
Oh, it's because it's easy.
Now's not the time, because he's throwing so much fucking bullshit. Yeah.
And it's so easy to fuck with people online because it's a simple argument, dude. There's no thought to it.
Yeah.
It's very black and white.
It's very black and white. And if they want fucking substantiation, I've got it ready to paste. Like, here you go. Here's the stats, and here's the fucking report of the 13-year-old.
I joined threads, and it was like, see what your friends have been replying in your posts and replies. And it's just a wall of Rhett just fucking copy and pasting the same thing of a fucking pedo Trump and then some court documents. And it's like the fucking funniest thing. And you ratioed some of the people, too, which is hilarious.
Which was fun. Dude, that's fun. Like, yeah. If they're trying to weaponize the dopamine hits, like, they got me with that. Like yeah.
But, dude...
When you ratio someone with a single fucking post, it's dope.
And what's funny, because it's a copy and paste, it was like, these responses are, like, 2 minutes apart. It looked like it was just, like, boom, 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 boom,
Because, yeah. Yeah, because it was just, I saw this, like, nope, you need the list, you need this. And you just change, like, they'll be like, oh, the Democrats is the party of blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, well, you're the party of defending pedophiles and blah, blah, blah.
Dude, we finally got a gotcha for them.
Yeah, and it's like, and then I'm always quick to go to members of both parties are on the list, obviously. Someone comes back, whoa, you didn't say anything about Clinton and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, read the fucking first line again. Members of both parties are on the list.
Yeah.
Like, fucking read it
that,
again.
I love that that's the gotcha. Is it's like, oh, well, what if Bill Clinton's on the list? Okay, put him in jail.
Like, why? What? We don't wear... I don't have a Clinton hat. I don't fucking...
Oh, yeah.
I don't have a Clinton Bible.
I saw somebody post something about that where they're like, well, then I guess I'll have to burn my Clinton hat and my Clinton shirt and my Clinton, like, everything else merch.
Exactly right. Like, it points out the difference between MAGA and everyone else immediately. Yeah. Like, seriously, I'm not... There is... We're not... I'm not in a cult. Like, I don't give a fuck if, like, if Clinton's on there.
The cult of not wanting to fuck children.
Yeah, man.
That's the cult I'm in.
Well, yeah. And it's just, it's also just like, you cared until 2 weeks ago. Like, up until 2 weeks ago, this was a big deal. So a lot of them have fallen off. The QAnon shaman and all these people. Like, this was the deal breaker, you know?
Yeah.
No, but then it gets too fucking like, now it's just like, I've seen people say, like, straight up, I don't care if he's on the list. That's for his wife to deal with. And it's like fucking, even for MAGA, I don't care if he fucked kids is a weird flex.
Well, because
like, it's a weird flex.
Yeah, because dude. I think the distinction for them is like, it's like the gulf of like two disparate things, right? Like either he's fucking kids or he's fucking like borderline children, and they're okay with this side, but if he's actually fucking children, that's where I've got an issue.
Well, even, you know what, sorry, now that you mentioned that, it evolved from raped underage girls 2 weeks ago to just fucking kids now.
Yeah.
No, because someone pointed out to me also, they're all underage women are children, they're called children, and I'm like, good point, ding ding ding. He's fucked children. Thank you. And we don't know. This is the 13-year-old is what we know about. You know? So yes. Qualifies. He qualifies. Mm-hmm. We went from like statutory guy with sex trafficking. He's
just fucking toddlers.
Straight up pedophilia. 3-year-olds. Serbian film starring
Jesus Christ. Alright, well that's it. Goes our podcast for episode 440. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Jacob.
This is Reed.
I'm gonna be taking out the last like 45 seconds of the show. Cool.
Give it to Patreon though.
Bye.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive. Never get out of this world alive.